All right, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. we'll be turning to John chapter 8. That's where our text will be. And this may seem kind of scattered. I don't know how long it'll be, but it'll be as long as the Lord would have it to be. I'll put it that way. But just bear with me and pray for me. And I was thinking about how Brother Conrad gets up here and preaches, and it's so intense. It ain't that Brother Conrad gets loud. He's not one of those real loud speakers. He's not what you'd call an elegant speaker, but he speaks the truth, and he speaks the truth of God's Word, and that makes it elegant, and that makes it loud, because it's not so much the preacher as in what he's preaching. And so, Lord willing, this morning we'll be looking at the truth. Before we get started, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear, gracious, kind Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to come to you this morning, Lord, and just praise your name, glorify you, Lord. Just pray, Lord, that you just bless your word this morning, the speaking of your word, Lord. Give me that calmness to correct my thoughts, Lord. Just help me direct them, Lord. Just give me what you would have me speak. You said you will give us in that hour what we ought to speak, Lord, or you will teach us in that hour. Lord, teach me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. You said you will guide us in all ways of truth. Lord, guide me this morning, Lord God. Guide my words, Lord, and my thoughts. And Lord, those that are here, touch their hearts, Lord, that they will meditate on your word and glorify you in all things, Lord. Lord, just want to pray for all the requests that were made, Lord God. And Brother Joey, Lord, just help him at home, Lord. Just, we know that you are the great physician and you can heal all things, Lord. Just heal him, Lord, as only you can, Lord. And just touch him and bless him and give him the rest that he needs, Lord God. And just be with us as we leave this place, Lord, that we'll continue to meditate on your word day and night. Lord, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, John chapter 8, and you notice I got two Bibles open here. I was kind of studying out of both of them, and some things that I marked in one I didn't mark in the other, and some commentaries that were in one weren't in the other in certain places, and there we have it. So, like I said, just bear with me and pray for me, and we'll have a good time in the Lord this morning, because it's good to be in the house of the Lord. But our text is John 8:32, and that's when I was real young. I went to a summer summer school, you know, for the kids. You go to church, and anyway, they gave me this little thing. It had the little blocks in it, and had little words all through it, you know. And what it was verses. And John 8:32 was what was on the one I had. You know, you could mix it all up, and then you had to scramble it and get it all back together and where it actually, you know, said the verse. And that was how I learned that verse, was I had to sit there and move it around and figure it out. And I got to thinking about that as I was trying to see what I was going to preach on this morning. And I got to thinking about, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So that was on that little thing I had there. And then at that time, I learned the verse, but I didn't learn the verse, if you know what I mean. I knew what it said, but I didn't know what it was saying. I understood as the world understands. You know, I could read it and say, well, that's what it says. But I could not read it and say, that's what the Lord meant for me to hear. You know, and that's what I want us to understand about the truth this morning. That's what we're going to be looking at. We're going to try to, like I said, I had several different things. I was most likely this morning, it's going to be like an exposition of that verse. We're going to break it down word by word and just make a few comments about it. And I'll read a few things that John MacArthur had to say, and a few things that that I was thinking about, you know, as I was getting prepared. So we'll go ahead and get started. We're going to read from verse 31 through 47. Like I said, remember, 32 is our main text. says, make sure I'm in the right spot. All right. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed. You know, and Brother Joey talks so much about it, and I love that, the emphasis on us continuing in his word, and us in perseverance, because that's the true sign of a Christian. Daily, we should examine ourselves and make sure that we are persevering. Where he says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were not in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. You know, if I don't get back to this point, I just want to make it clear, you know, that, you know, we are the sons of God, those who are Christians. And here he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abide not in the house forever. You know, the world can try to do right. They can try to have good morals. They can try to live like a Christian, even imitate a Christian or look like a Christian. And we know that Satan can come as an angel of light. You know, he can look like a Christian, but that don't mean he's a Christian. They will not abide forever. But those who are the sons of God, they will abide forever. Because it's not fake, it's for real. Verse 35, he says, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen, which my father, and ye do that which ye have seen of your father. Which, you know, in here on down he's going to tell us about their father is really Satan. And we know that of the world, you know, their father is Satan. And Christians have a heavenly father. And we have to make that distinction, because the world, when they say father, they think of earthly. You know, they think of, like here, they're saying Abraham. Abraham, a descendant, you know. They're not thinking of a heavenly father. Verse 30 says, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you are of Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And that's real important as we get to looking at the truth, the difference between a truth and a liar. And the world is of that liar, you know. And he said that, you know, let God be true and every man a liar. And that's talking about those that are not saved, because we know as we get to looking at this, that those who are of God are of the truth. You know, and it's something, if your life don't represent of the truth, then you need to examine it and make sure you get right with God. Verse 45 says, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. All right, as we break this down, I wanted us to look at, like I said, we're going to go through each word. First of all, talking about ye. Who is the ye in verse 32. Yeah, it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Who is the ye? But the ye are the Christians, the chosen one, the elect, the saved, you know, those that are of the truth. That is the ye that he's talking about here. Here he says, ye shall. What does shall mean when you think of the Bible? You think it don't mean maybe. It don't mean could. It don't mean that, you know, he says, ye could possibly, you know, or ye may, might. You know, it's not an iffy thing. Amen. When God says ye shall, it's for sure. It's positive. It's in concrete. There was somebody at work talking about us being off Thursday and Friday. He said, "Is that in concrete?" I said, "I've heard it's in concrete, but I don't know if it's set yet." You know, he might still pull your feet out. That may change, but in God's word, it's not going to change. Amen. You know, because he never changes. But he says, ye shall. So as the children of God, a firm, found, solid, sure assurance that they shall. Ye shall know. All right. When we get to the word know, this is personal. This is not something that, you know, I think in the Greek it says gnosko. It's something that, you know, it's a closeness, a sureness, a definite. You know, he said, ye shall know. You know, and you think about, well, that's two words you said mean sure. They do. Both of them sure. You know, ye shall. Shall is like the verb. It's like the what he's going to do, and he will, and it's in concrete. It's not, and it's concrete that's set. It's not concrete that's wet. It's going to pull your feet out. You know, this is something that's for sure. He said, "You shall know the truth," and we're going to stick on know for just a little bit. Well, I said it's got to be personal. You got to know him personally. When we say the truth, you know. Yeah, I'm going to intertwine some of this stuff about the truth, the no, the whole verse. You know, so we'll be going back and forth. But here, as we look at the truth, truth as in being God, as being Jesus, as being the Word, as being, you know, not just that, but being truth as in even the world sees truth, you know. So we'll be going back and forth to that. But here we're to know personally. When I think of know personally, I think of who are we knowing personally but Jesus Christ. It's got to be a personal relationship. And we've got to know him continually. You know, we think about this perseverance. If you just say, well, I know Jesus Christ, or I believe in Jesus Christ, what does James say? Even the devils believe and tremble, but they're not saved. They're not one of the ye, you know. They know him. They know of him. They know everything that he does. But they don't know him intimately. They don't know him personally. That was the word I was thinking of earlier and didn't say it. Intimate. When he says know, it's intimacy. He says we're to know him. To know the truth. And we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we're to know knowledge, have knowledge of Christ. I thought about in Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 6. I've got it written down here. He says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And the word was unto me a joy and rejoicing of my heart." He said, "For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." But the first part of that says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." What does that mean to y'all personally? It's something that you may know the truth. All right, you may know. You may meditate on it. You may eat it. You may digest it. You may put it into practice. You may know the Word. Oh, how do we know the Word? Well, I'm sure you've heard me quote 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." He said, "Well, yeah, we've heard you quote that, but can you quote it? Can you digest it? Can you take it apart? Can you think about it?" You know, each time we think of the Bible, the Word, you know, we should be able to digest it, take it apart, and meditate on it day and night. In Sunday school this past month, we were looking at Psalm chapter 1. And, you know, we got We talk mostly about meditating on the Word day and night, even though that wasn't the verse we got to. But it's something that we have to do. If you want to know the Word of God, you've got to meditate on it day and night. You've got to eat it. You've got to digest it. You've got to think about it. You've got to, I think Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart and to the Lord." You know, meditate on it. Think about it. What does that mean? You know, dissect it. Take it apart. I said, we talked about it in Sunday school. I said, first off, it says, "Let the Word of Christ, which is the truth, dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Well, if something dwells in you richly, you're full of it. You've got plenty of it. You've been going to the well. You've been pulling the water out. The well don't run dry when it's the living water. You know, so we got to go to the well. We got to, well, what is our well here? The Bible, the Word, God, the truth, you know, the Spirit of truth. We got to keep coming to that well. Like I said, I was thinking about Psalm chapter 1, and I thought about, you know, I read it, and I meditated on it, and I thought about it, and I'm bad about, if I don't think about it for a few days, then I go to think about it again. I can't, well, how did that go? You know, then I got to think about, well, what does it mean? If I think about what it means, then I start thinking about what it said. I started thinking about, well, verse 1 says, Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, that's the Christian man. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. I got to thinking about that. That's what we're talking about. Meditating day and night. Walking not in the way of sinners. Walking not in the way of the, or sitting in the seat of the scornful. Being in the way of sinners. Walking not in the counsel of the ungodly. What is the counsel of the ungodly? Was that the world's wisdom? We're not in the world's wisdom. We're meditating on the Word of God to know the truth. If you worship God, how can you worship Him? But in spirit and in truth. You know, you have these churches who say, well, there's no spirit in that church. There's no truth in that church. If there's not both, you don't need to go to that church. Because that's not true worship. That's the only worship He will accept is spirit and truth. So as we look at this, we think about knowing personally, knowing as a knowledge, knowing, gaining, you know, more and more knowledge about Jesus Christ. He says we're to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, how can you grow if you don't study? If you don't stick your nose in the book, you don't meditate on it, you know, you don't... So like I said, I don't try to act or think like I know anything. It seems like the more I learn, the more I learn that I don't know. You know, yesterday I felt more confident in what I was going to preach than I did after about 4 hours of study this morning. I said, where am I going to start? You know, it's the more you study, the more you realize you don't know. You know, but I praise the Lord for what He gives me. But we're to dig into His Word. We're to, as He says, to eat the Word, to digest it, meditate on it. And it, the only way you, I thought Brother Connor was, actually, he did mention this verse. He didn't get into it, but he did say Psalms 1. But I got to thinking about that. I thought he was fixing to get into my Sunday school lesson. Because I said, well, and it, well, like I said, but mentioning that, you know, meditating on the Word day and night, this is a sign that you love the Lord. This is a sign that you want to grow in grace. This is a sign that you're one of the ye who shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. I used to say shall set you free, but it does that too. But the verse says shall make you free. And I thought about the Word of God and how when you repeat somebody's Word, you want to repeat it exactly, especially if you're in their presence. If Aunt Nanny told me something and I was telling... Uncle Denny about what she said and she's standing behind me, I'm going to be sure I say it exactly the way she said it because she's going to hold me accountable. Well, is God not more than Aunt Nanny? Is God not going to hold you accountable for what He said? When you repeat what God said, repeat it as He said it, as He meant for it to be said. You know, because He's in your presence. He said, "Where two or more gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them." If he's in your midst, repeat it as he would have it, you know, to give him glory. Because you're going to be held accountable for what you say. And that's why we're to speak the truth. You know, and that's in our daily lives. Not just, you think about knowing the word. Well, even if you're not saved, the thing to be is honesty. To be truthful. People respect that. You know, if you do something on the job or in school and you know that it's wrong, you're going to be respected if you admit, hey, I done wrong. Hey, I cheated or I stole or whatever it was you done. If you face up and admit and be truthful, you're going to be respected. But if you lie about it, you know, all you're doing is adding more and more sin, adding more and more guilt. Even worldly, you're adding more guilt because they're going to say, well, he stole, then turned around and lied about it. You know, if he'd have went ahead and told me, hey, I took this, I didn't think it would be, whatever the situation was. If he'd been honest, if he'd been truthful, you know, even the world will respect that. But as Christians, our reputation should be the truth. Should be, so, I'm about to get ahead of myself, but praise the Lord anyway. I talked to a guy at work and we was talking about different things and we got on something else and he said, well, we're chasing rabbits. I said, well, I eat rabbit too. Anyway, he said, you shall know the truth. And so we're looking at know right now, the, even that little word the is important because it's not a truth, it's not some truth, it's not the possibility of truth, you know, it's the truth. And who is the truth? He said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. So it is the truth. It's not just some truth. It's not a possibility. It's not something way out here, but it's something close and personal. And we should respect it with all due respect. The truth. All right, I'm just going to go on to truth. Well, first of all, like I said, who is the truth? And of course, we know Jesus is the truth. That was John 14:6 says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. You know, and that's so important when you hear about so many religions that think you can come to Christ this way and that way and every way but the door. You know, the door, Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can come. He says, I am the way. Before he says, I am the truth, he says, I am the way. So if you go any other way, you're not in the way. Matter of fact, that little church bulletin was talking about the way. And that just stood out to me because it's not some way, it's not any way, but it's the way, just like the truth. So when we hunt the truth, we got to go to the truth, which is the way, which is the life. You know, because any other way is death. Because the wages of sin is death. And if you're still in your sins, you've got death and have no life. John chapter 14, verse 16 says, And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, and he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now I thought about that. You know, the world don't understand it. They don't know him. They can't see him. They don't see him. They don't know him. He said, but ye know him. Him who? The truth. You know the truth. It says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, so we know him. And after it says that, it says, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. All right, if he dwelleth with you and shall be in you, and you tell a lie, is God in you? Is he with you? Is he going to, you know, you say, we're two or more gathered together in my name. If you're in his name, he says, I am the truth, then you better be speaking truth. I'm just reading some of what I had here about The world should know you by your truthfulness, your honesty, your integrity, if you are a child of God. And I thought about at Rheem, they got these Rheem values. And the very first one is integrity. He said, that's doing what is right when no one is looking. And I thought, that's not integrity. Integrity is the reputation of doing what's right, whether someone's looking or not. You know, it's the reputation. It's knowing that Brother Lamar is going to do what's right, even if I leave and come back 6 hours later, he's going to have 6 hours worth of work done while I was gone. You know, that's integrity. Integrity is knowing that he's running a business that's got money scattered everywhere, and I know that none of it's going to be missing because he's a man of truth. He's a man that's not going to, of honesty. He's not going to steal. He's not going to, you know, integrity is a reputation of doing what's right. You know, I heard Aunt Paula talk about Jesus went about, or was it Aunt Annie went about, Jesus went about doing good. You know, and that's what we're to do. We're to go about doing good, to cleave to that which is good and abhor that which is evil, to put it away, to stay away from it. You know, just to depart from it and go the other way. He said to submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. I talked to a guy at work about that, and he left off, submit yourself to God. I said, that don't work. Just resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I said, if you don't do the first part, submit yourself to God and then resist the devil, he will flee from you. But if you're not submitted to God, then the devil's got you. All right, John 16, verse 12 and 13 says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot hear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Then it says, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. But the point I wanted to get here was, he will guide you in all ways, unto all truth. The Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth if you're one of his, because Christ is the truth. And if you're one of his and he dwells in you and he is with you, then you ought to be all about the truth and not about lies. All right, I'm going to, while we're on the truth here, I don't want to run out of time, but I wanted to look at some things that was just coming to me while I was working. Yesterday, I got to thinking about this verse and meditating on it and thought about what it meant to me and the things that far as the truth goes. And I got to thinking about the truth being the opposite of a lie, you know, and how that, you know, if we're of the truth, we shouldn't be around lies, shouldn't be with lies. We shouldn't tell half truth. But you know the half truth is a lie? Or did you know, if you exaggerate or stretch the truth. I heard a sermon the other day, and the guy was talking about he used to go to these churches and give his testimony. He had such a great testimony, and he'd go from this church, he'd give his testimony, and he'd go to another town and give his testimony, and another town and give his testimony, and he said, and all of a sudden he quit giving his testimony. And the guy that had invited him to church, he said, man, I want you to give your testimony. I've heard it, and said it was wonderful. He said, well, he said, I quit doing that. He said, why did you quit doing that? He said, I kept exaggerating, kept adding to it. He said, I forgot what the truth was. You know, and you think about it. This guy was giving a testimony of how he was saved and his life. And evidently, he was, like I said, exaggerating, putting more to it than what happened. And he said, the next thing you know, he said he quit doing it because he couldn't remember how it actually happened. Yeah. But I thought, you know, that's kind of, you think about it. When you start exaggerating, when you start, you know, you'll forget what the truth really is. One sin may lead to another. You think about it. Think about this. All right, if you're going down the road and you're speeding and, oh, you see that blue light come behind you. The policeman's pulling you over. And you think, well, the Bible says to obey the laws of the land. You know, so we are supposed to do the speed limit. And Even Jay gets on me about, he caught me the other day. He said, well, speed limit's 45, Daddy. He said, you ain't doing 45. I said, you're right. I said, hard to do sometimes, and we catch ourselves, you know, you get in a habit of, well, somebody else done it. You know, I'm just flowing along with the traffic. I'm just going the speed limit, or not going the speed limit. I'm going with what the traffic's going. I thought about something that two wrongs don't make a right, but two rights made an airplane. Yeah. You can't be wrong just because somebody else is wrong. If they're wrong, it don't make it right for you to be wrong with them. That's just both of you wrong. But anyway, that's something that when I said that one sin leads to another. All right, you broke the laws of the land. You were speeding. You got pulled over, and the cops coming walking up to your car, and you're saying, "What am I going to tell him? I was thinking of this, or I was doing that. I was doing it." Tell him the truth. You were speeding. You know. You know. You think about what can I tell him to get out of this ticket. You know, all you're doing is adding coals to the fire. You know, because if you lie about what you were doing, when he already knows what you were doing, you were speeding. He got you with the radar. You know, you ain't got to explain that. All you got to say is, "Yes, sir." You know, that's exactly what I was doing, and it's wrong. You know, but we do that. I would just use that for an example. But that's in our daily lives. If you do something wrong, and then you lie about it, then you're going to have to lie again to cover up that lie, and lie again to cover up that lie. And the next thing you know, your life is a lie. You are built on lies, and your reputation is a liar. And guess what? A liar shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so we need to think about those things. You say, well, you know, everybody makes a mistake, but you repent and turn. You repent, you ask God to forgive you, and you try not to do that again. That's striving for perfection. You know, Paul said, not as though I had already attained the resurrection or either already perfect. He said, but I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. You continue to try to walk in truth. Try to walk honestly. He says, walk honestly before all men. So your walk should be truth. So your life should be truth. It should all represent that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So by knowing the truth personally, you know, our life should represent that. You know, you see those little bracelets and stuff. What would Jesus do? You know, and that's something we should ask ourselves each and every day. Well, what would Jesus do in this situation? I'm going to move on down just for time's sake. I thought about Mama used to sing this little song about there be no liars there. You know, and that was the chorus. I'm not going to sing it. So you got to get your earplugs out or anything. I'm not going to sing it. But anyway, that was the chorus to it. There'll be no liars there. You know, and that stuck with me, though. Even, you know, before I was saved, I knew that if you lied, you wasn't going to heaven. If you made that a habit, you know, I thought about habitual liars, those who make it a habit. You know, you may tell something or something else I have here in my notes is about give me just a second. People will tell a lie to keep from looking bad, but when you tell a lie, you already look bad. You know, let's see here. When you talk about somebody else and you say, well, they said in a roundabout way, you know, don't even repeat that. If you're not sure of something, then you're more subject to tell a lie about it. If you go to tell something and say, well, they meant to say, or theoretically speaking, or Jay was telling me, he said, why do you want to know how to spell it? So I said, so I can read it. Well, I've got a word misspelled here, and I don't even know what it is. Anyway, technically speaking, that was it. Anyway, as it, you'll hear people say, well, technically speaking, or in a roundabout way, or they meant to say, or they probably meant, you know, all those are leading up and you're fixing to tell a lie. You know, why don't you go ahead and say, this is what they said. You know, like I said, if you're repeating something somebody said, you know, you might as well do it as if they were in your presence, because God is in your presence. And God knows the truth. God knows what was said and what you, you know. So if you're going to repeat something that you know. You know. Just a few things I got here about the first lie. Where was the first lie told? Garden of Eden. You know. And you think about that, and it just went downhill from there. One lie led to another, and led to another, and look how many lies you got now. You know, you got the world trying to lie. But we know that God is not a liar. He says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent, because God cannot lie. You know, you think of things, we say, well, there's nothing that God can't do. Well, no, yeah, there is. God can't lie. He can't deny himself. There's things that he cannot do because of who he is. You know, he would not be God if he told a lie, because God cannot lie. All right, I'm going to move on just so I can get through with this. Praise the Lord. We got to the truth, and we were looking at who is the truth, and we started looking a little bit at what is the truth, you know, and how it should represent our lives. Now that we know Christ, if he lives in us, then our speech should represent him and honesty. You know we say he is honest and he is truth, but not only, we got to do it as the world can see honesty. All right, he is the truth. All right, and then here we go again, which shall make. I'll go ahead and put these together. He is the truth, and the truth shall make. Here he is, almost repeating what he said earlier, you know, far as the words themselves, but we still want to look at that. It's still a shall, and that is a for sure thing. It's still the truth, which is Jesus Christ, and he says shall make. And what is to make? But it's to cause to happen, or to cause to be in existence, or to create. And these are all things that God does. It's not something that you do. It is God that worketh in you the will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not you that worked it, but God. It's God that created it. So when he says that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, it's not you making you free. It's not something you've done. It's not something that you can have merit for. It's not something that you earned. It is something that God done himself. He said, the truth shall make you free. All right, what is it to make you free? And who is the you? Again, it's the children of God. I just started looking a little bit at free. He says that if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It is the you are free from the bondage of sin. You are free from the death of sin. You are free from the consequences of sin. And you think about all of these things, especially the consequences of sin. You know, and we just got through saying sin is that sin leads to death. But here he says the consequences of sin, and you think about even in the world. Like I said, when you tell a lie, you are known for that lie. When you add to it, it's adding to your reputation. Whatever you do in life is going to build your reputation, because it says that we are known and read of men. You know, people see us. They read us like a book. They know how you're going to react and what you've done and what you're going to do by your reputation. And our reputation should represent truth. And all right, here it says that we are free from self-deception. We are free from deception of Satan, and free from the humiliation of sin. And that's so true, because you think about how humiliating it, I'll get it out, how humiliating it is to be caught in a sin if you're representing Jesus Christ. If you're representing truth and you're caught in dishonesty, you know. And I got to thinking, and he tells us not to worry, not to fret, not to think. But I think about things, I've been working on the blanket line at work, and you have to mark steel with a soapstone, and you got to, you know, it's wide open, and you get down to a little nub, you'll throw it in the pocket for later, and you'll get to looking for it, and you'll find it in your pocket and pull it back out, and then you'll get another piece, or you'll put it in your pocket and can't remember where you put it. So you go get another piece. You get another piece, you're going back to it. I've got home and had that couple of pieces of soapstone still in my pocket. And I thought about it. Well, you know, they've got surveillance cameras and they've got all this stuff. So what if they would say, well, We don't need him as an employee. He stole soapstone. That's stealing, no matter what it's worth, might not be worth 3 cents, you know. But the amount don't matter. They could say, he done this or he done that. You know, it's not that that's a habitual sin. It's not that I go around stealing. But, you know, the fact that the world can take something and turn it around, but your reputation should say, you know, that's not a habitual sin. That's an accidental thing that happened, you know. But anyway, I was just pointing out the fact that we're to constantly meditate on God's Word, constantly look at what we do, how we're representing God. Is it the truth? Is it, you know, and I started being more careful about what I do at work. Started being more careful about what I say, what I do, how I act. And because I caught myself doing things that I said, well, it's not necessary. You know, I caught myself foolishness. Doing things that's just for a laugh or just to make the day, what we call make the day go by better. You know, if you're doing something and it don't look good, it don't make the day go by better. Because at the end of the day, you're going to say, I shouldn't have done that. You know, and that, what kind of day is that? It's a bad day. It's not a good day. So anyway, so we should look at what we do. I'm going to read a couple of things that John MacArthur had to say and we'll try to end it up here. I had several more things we could go to, but I'm going to let y'all get home before y'all go to sleep. All right, John chapter 8, and here's what John MacArthur had to say, starting with verse 31. He said, first step in the process toward true discipleship is belief in Jesus Christ as Messiah and the Son of God. Says, if you abide in my word, ye are my disciples indeed. This reveals the second step in the process toward true discipleship. Perseverance in obedience to Scripture is the first or evidence of the genuine faith. Said the word abide means to habitually abide in Jesus Christ's words. Say a genuine believer holds fast, obeys, and practices Jesus' teaching. The one who continues in his teaching as both the Father and the Son. Real discipleship, or real disciples, are both learners and faithful followers. He said the truth here has reference not only to the facts surrounding Jesus as the Messiah and Son of God, but also to the teaching that he brought. A genuinely saved and obedient follower of Jesus Christ will know divine truth and both freedom from sin and the search for reality. And I thought that to be really interesting, the search for reality. You know, what is real in your life? Is it the things of this world or is it the spiritual things? You know, I would hope that the spiritual things is what's reality in your life, because knowing that, you know, this world's going to pass away, but God's Word will never pass away. God will never pass away. You know, and as we get older and as we move in life, you know, as we get older, you might be 10 years old, but you may not reach 11. You better think about who God is. You know, you might be 20 years old. Well, you may not reach 21. You know, but the point is that we need to look at our lives and bring it to reality. Say, well, am I a child of God? And if not, you better get on your knees and seek Him. So this divine truth comes not merely by intellectual assent, but saving commitment to Christ. Here he says, talking about the most assuredly, whosoever commits sin, he says the idea of committing sin means to practice sin habitually. He said the ultimate bondage is not political or economic enslavement, but spiritual bondage. And that's what you're being freed from. You know, when you think about, when you get to the end of that verse, he says that, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? You know, what are you free from? You know, and I give you some examples the other day, but here he's talking about, you know, the imprisonment, the bondage, the being slaves to sin. You're no longer a slave to sin. If you're born again, if you're a Christian, now You are a son of God. He said, you're no longer a slave, but you're committed to serving Jesus Christ. And the service you do is not something you do, but He does in you because you're one of His. And that's how you know that you're a child of God, because you do His commandments and they're not grievous. Well, you know, if you were doing it because you were being made to do it, they'd be grievous. You'd say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to pray. I don't want to study. I don't want... When you get this I don't want to attitude, you're not one of His. You need to study. You need to pray. You need to think. You need to... And thank God that He gives you that want to. But it says, it is God that worketh in you the will and to do of His good pleasure. All right, I had a few more things about bondage and... But I'm going to stop right here and just leave it with you that our life should represent truth if we represent the truth, Jesus Christ. And I appreciate your attention. God bless you.